Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
Next week, we're going to start a mini-series called A Tale of Two Brothers. We're going to look at some principles from the life of Jacob and Esau, and we're going to camp out there for 2-3 weeks. This morning, I just want to talk about something that I think will give context to what we saw. And I want to talk a little bit about baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. And I'm not going to be long here. I just want to read something. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was making this statement to his followers. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy to remove the sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to talk about that for a minute. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 18, after the Holy Spirit is poured out for the first time in the church's birth, Peter stands up and he makes this statement to the Jewish people that are in the city of Israel. He says, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied, that in the last days, say that with me, in the last days, we are in the last days, friends. The last day started in Acts chapter 2, and the same prophet Joel said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people, on all flesh. And this was life-changing for the Jewish people because the spirit was only poured out occasionally and at different times. If you think of someone like Deborah in the book of Judges, the spirit of the Lord would come upon her so she could do mighty acts that no woman had ever done. The spirit of the Lord would come upon David, would come upon Saul, would come upon the prophets, and then he would lift off again. But Joel said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. And then he says, even on my men and women, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. And that would, people would have said, what? We can have the same spirit that Isaiah had? We can have the same spirit on us that one of the judges had or one of the kings? So this would have been transforming for them. And then Joel, the same prophet that Peter quotes, goes on to say that there would come a second move of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain at the end of the last days. And I believe that's where we are today. Do you know that there's an awakening going on all around our planet right now? There's an awakening to the Holy Spirit. And people, even in Pentecostal churches, people get all nervous. Oh, don't talk about the Holy Spirit too much. It's all about Christ. It is about Christ. But the Holy Spirit's favorite topic is Jesus. And when I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm actually clothed in the very person who wants to show me and reveal and have on my lips day and night Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit always puts the focus on Jesus. So I just want to share for a minute. In the 1900s, in the early 1900s, when the Spirit revisited this planet and there was the Pentecostal outpouring, since that time, they say there's at least conservatively 500 million people in the last 100 years that have professed to being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. 500 million people. Before that, there was only little pockets in the church. And God is visiting his people in these last days with the Holy Spirit, baptism and fire. And I just want to maybe give some context about why I'm so passionate about this. Is that okay? And then we're going to close and we'll go home. All right? I long for the day, Brother Emmanuel, when it's, you know, my uncle who was a pastor in Kenya said at about the 3-hour mark, people are just getting warmed up over there. Because they're just so hungry for the presence of Jesus, because they know if they don't leave that service filled, they're not going to make it that week. That's the day that we're living in North America. That's the day that we're in. I'm grateful for good teaching. Can I be perfectly honest with you? Last night, I was listening to Brother Jimmy Swaggart. Like him or not, I don't really care. I just put him on, and I was listening to him. There is good teaching available. And our theme this year is rooted, grow deep. We need to get rooted in the Word of God. But friends, the church isn't lacking good teaching. The church isn't lacking good programs. There's a reason the Holy Spirit's visiting the church, because we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to explain this word fire. People think it's a Pentecostal charismatic thing. Oh, burn fire. Oh, you know what? It's a biblical thing. John the Baptist saw Jesus in two ways. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what John the Baptist, that's how he set Jesus up. Do you know Jesus never baptized anyone in water? It was his disciples. The Bible's clear. His disciples. It actually says people were coming to Jesus to be baptized, but it wasn't Jesus that baptized them. It was his followers. And I believe there was a reason for that, because God had set Jesus apart to be the exclusive baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, this is how I want people to see my son, as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So why fire? What does this mean? Why do we want God to visit Calvary with fire? Why do we want God to visit his church in fire with the Holy Spirit and fire? Because when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I received my prayer language and God started to change me exponentially and God started to bring a power to my life to be a witness, other things started to happen simultaneously with that. And I've now come to recognize that was the fire that the Holy Spirit brings to my life. So what do we know about fire? Well, number one, fire burns away and fire purifies. And I think that we need a visitation in the church of the Holy Spirit and fire, because I grew up in a church culture where people would speak in tongues and get slain in the Spirit, but their flesh still remained really, really strong. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to visit his church in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire, because the fire keeps us from being carnal Christians who are just experientially based, running after an experience, running after a power that we can't handle. A lot of believers can be Christians like babies with power tools. We've got this power, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are armed with the word of God, but we don't have the character to be able to sustain it. And the fire of God will burn away your flesh if we let it. His name is Holy Spirit. Sometimes I refer to him as the Spirit of God, but we can't forget his title is Holy Spirit, and he wants to make us holy as he is holy and holy as Jesus is holy. And when the fire of God visits a church, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit starts to move in our midst, we become very aware that, man, this was okay 6 months ago. It's not okay now. If we were to, don't do it, please, because we're almost ready to start renovating this room, okay? But I bet you if you were to set this carpet on fire, it would take probably about 45 seconds for it to go, and it would just disintegrate. Poof. But if you were to set this building on fire, again, we're not going to. But if we were going to, what would happen? Everything that was combustible would combust. But there would still be some things that stand, right? That's what fire does. Fire sweeps and burns away everything except that which is structurally necessary. The bricks wouldn't burn. Other things wouldn't burn. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. When we open up our lives to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, all of a sudden, it's not just the things that are sinful. It's the things that are unnecessary, that are maybe weighing us down and holding us back. I love being around Christians. I love to talk about the Toronto Raptors just because they're the Toronto Raptors, and we know that the Jesus' favorite sport is basketball. We know that, right? Sorry, Canadians, but it's true. And but you know what? When the fire of God visits the church and visits people, all of a sudden we find ourselves starting to talk about Jesus. All of a sudden, the things that divided us before, listen to me, please. The things that divided us before no longer are issues, because God's burning away their priority in our lives. And what becomes the priority is Christ and Christ alone, and the fact that we're all saved by the same blood and the same cross. And that's all that matters. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in fire in our lives, usually what's left is what honors him. The frivolous distractions and pursuits find their proper place, or they're burned away, and the main thing is Jesus. What's another thing fire does? Fire illuminates. Do you know that for centuries, fire was the main source of light when the sun went down? It's only in the last 100 years where electricity has kind of made light something that we take for granted. We come in a room, we flip on a switch. You know, when we were flying out for our holidays a few Sundays ago, when we were coming in over the Dominican, we could see that island lit up in pockets. That's only a new thing, friends. For centuries, fire was the main source of people seeing, and fire illuminates. And when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire, all of a sudden we start to see things differently. I start to see God's word. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would start to read the word, and it was like it would jump out at me. Because I can't understand this precious book without the author. And when the author baptizes me in the Holy Spirit, and when the author gives the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life, all of a sudden he starts to bring illumination and revelation. But you know what else he does? The church needs the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. You know why? So we can start to see people in the world the same way Jesus does. I think it's time for Pentecostal churches to stop looking outside and saying, it's so dark, look at all the agendas, look what's going on in the world, it's so terrible, and start to see the world as, if we are in end days, that means Jesus is coming back, and Jesus wins every time, and so we need to bring as many people as we can with us. Amen. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we start to see people differently. Because God burns away all of the prejudices, all of the insecurities that we have, and we just start to see souls that will live forever, either in a hell, in an eternity away from God, or forever with Jesus, and that becomes our priority. That becomes our priority. And so, fire illuminates. It lets us see clearly the world and the world. We won't need to tell people to share Christ. In our last congregation, you know, it was amazing to see people. Most of our growth in the last few years of our last congregation, a lot of our growth was just new believers. And they came into a church where healing was normal, where baptism in the Holy Spirit was normal. That was normal for them. So what did they do? They came into church, they got saved. They maybe got saved through one of the ministries. Someone gave them, did the ministry, prayed for them. They might have got touched by the power of God or healed. So they came to church and said, oh, this is normal. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they would go out to the workplace and start to do the same things. I didn't have to stand up every week and say to people, we need to evangelize the lost. They just did it. Why? Because the power of God rested on them. It was normal to be naturally supernatural. It wasn't relegated to a Sunday night service. I've had people say to me over the years, like, oh, Pentecost is in trouble. We don't have Sunday night services. I'm like, maybe it's a good thing because God is forcing us that it's not from 7 to 9:30, but it's supposed to be a daily part of our lives. All right, are you still with me? All right. When the fire of God hits our lives, it spreads because that's what fire does. You know, fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit first came, they saw fire. You know, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, if you come to me, out of your innermost being will flow streams of living water. So water, oil, fire, wind. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, he said, the person born of the Spirit's like the wind. You don't know where it's going or where it's come from. And there's something about the Holy Spirit that loves spontaneity, right? And that doesn't mean we have disorder in our services or the Holy Spirit's partial to weirdness. That's not what Jesus meant. Jesus just simply meant a person born of the Spirit might have an agenda for the day, but the Spirit may stop them at any moment and say, talk to that person, give money to that person, call that person, text that person, share Jesus, lay hands on that person and believe for their healing. The person that's born of the Spirit, Jesus, is like the wind. You don't know where it's going to go. This morning, I had no idea where the service was going to go, but I think the Spirit did something this morning. And I think it was very orderly. Why? Because he's Lord of the church. But fire. Fire. And fire is also seen. Not does it just illuminate our hearts, but fire is seen. And people will be attracted to Jesus in us. People will be attracted and drawn to a church that is the fire of God and has touched. The person who is on fire, the person who's in revival, you won't need to share Jesus. People will see Jesus in you. I had the privilege of being part of a church that was in renewal. I have a number of times over the years. But I was a youth pastor. It was in London, and that church was in renewal. And we had a number of testimonies of people who would drive by every day on the bus or the city bus or drive by in cars. And one girl's testimony, God brought her to our church. She came into our counseling center first. And by her second or third session, they laid hands on her. She was slain in the spirit, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, set free from all kinds of things. God just set her free. But you know what she said? She said, I would be on the city bus. And a voice kept telling me, you need to go in there. There's answers there. There's answers there. There's answers there. And she came in. She got touched by the power of God, absolutely delivered, set free, joined our Alpha Discipleship Program, and God did something. I'm going to tell you something. When the fire of God touches an individual, when the fire of God touches a family or a marriage, when the fire of God touches a church, people will be drawn to Christ in us because they will see what we're burning and who we're living for. Opportunities will come your way. And so, John said, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's my heart as a pastor. As we talk about being rooted and growing deep, it's not about head knowledge. It's just about us bearing more fruit on behalf of Jesus. But Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. And that's to the Father's glory. And I can't live 5 minutes without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And this is when I'm at home amongst believers and people that love me. He's still burning off the things in my life that aren't pleasing to him. He's still convicting me of sin, and he's still doing all that work. But I just so desirous to see God visit his church. And here's what I'm hearing. I am hearing testimonies both in person and as I speak or on social media or on group chats. God is actually not just bringing an awakening to a church. I love the fact that in Asbury, and some of you know 3-4 weeks ago, I addressed what I believe God was going on there. But you know that in university campuses all over the world right now, both Christian and non-Christian, God is starting to break out. God is starting to break out. And it looks different everywhere. And man, I have the internet. I've seen the people that said, want to dissect what God did at this Asbury College. And you've got some people saying it's not Pentecostal enough when the Spirit, and you got other people saying it's too Pentecostal and it's too this, too that. Can Christians just stop and say, praise God that the Spirit poured out amongst young adults and teenagers? That generation needs a visitation from the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to look like it. I said this before, like it did in the 1990s. It's not going to look like it did when Jimmy Swaggart used to carry crusades. It's going to look different. It's not going to look like it does for Calvary Church, like it does the Baptist Church in town, because I want the fire of God to visit the Baptist Church in town and the Presbyterian Church in town. I just want wherever there's godly men and women behind the pulpit and hungry people in the church for the presence of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God to visit his church, because Canada needs the church to be the church so that Jesus can be proclaimed. Amen. Amen. So it's not about Pentecostal form or theology. To me, it's about being biblical. It's about saying, I want Jesus to baptize me and the generation that often comes and stands at the front here. I want Jesus to baptize with the Holy Spirit in fire, because I want to see a church that is ablaze with love for Jesus, obedient to the Spirit of God, rooted in the Word of God, who knows, Janie, we're going to talk about this next week. I love Pastor Emmanuel, and I am going to close. I love Pastor Emmanuel. I'm going to tell you something. The way you prayed challenged us Caucasian Canadian folk. In a good way. Next week, the Lord's really put a message on my heart I actually want some of you maybe to read the passage of scripture, but you can look it up. God gave a promise to a man named Isaac that he would continue in the blessing of his father and have a son, but Isaac's wife was barren. And in one short verse sums up 20 years when it says, Isaac pleaded to the Lord for his wife, Rebekah, so she could have a child. And Isaac didn't make the mistake that his father made. Does anyone know what the mistake of his father was? His father, what's Isaac's brother's name? Help me out here. Ishmael. Yeah, I've only been in that all week. Abraham made the mistake of Ishmael. And I really believe with all of my heart that God wants the Church of Jesus to start contending. To start contending and stop settling for Ishmaels. Things that kind of look like the promise, but it gives us out if it doesn't come to pass. It's this prayer. Lord, heal Christine. We by her stripes we're healed, but let thy will be done. But God's sovereign, Pastor Jay. We have built Ishmaels around our experience for too long. And Janie, I believe God's calling Calvary Church to start to press in prayer, in travailing prayer, which means birthing, labor, pain kind of prayer, so we can see the promises of God manifested in our midst. That's what I believe. And if you kind of, if this message rubs you the wrong way, well, you can take a week off next week. That's good. But hopefully, like me, you'll allow the Spirit of God to challenge you, because I've given birth to some Ishmaels in my life. I think we all have. But a church that has been touched with a new fire of the Holy Spirit, it also comes with that as a purifying of our faith. Where, like Paul, we can say, we will travail in prayer until Christ is fully formed in us, in the lives of our prodigals, in our nation, and in our province. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what he wants to do for each one of us. Can you stand? Lord, you've been so good to us this morning. And Emmanuel, Pastor Emmanuel, and the team, when they picked their songs, they had no idea. Well, I didn't even know I was going to share on this until about 8 o'clock last night. And you've just brought it all together. And Jesus, I believe you have visited us this morning with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord, cleanse, purify us. Burn away, that old saying, burn away the dross and let us be refined as gold, as pure gold, Lord. Send your fire to Calvary Church so that your priorities can be our priorities, so that we can burn in a world that desperately needs Jesus. Lord, burn away our prejudices, burn away all of the things that maybe matter but divide us, and just bring us together, Lord Jesus, under the banner of the shed blood of Christ and his cross. Paul said, this is what matters, Jesus Christ crucified and him raised again. And we know you're coming back soon. We know we're in the last days. Paul said, Lord, in the last days, people will follow teaching of demons and hear what their ears want to hear. I want to say this. We are in the last days when people will leave sound doctrine and follow whatever their itching ears want to hear. We are in those days, and it's for these days that we just open up our lives to a greater awareness of the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, a greater willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to form and shape us into the image of Jesus. And oh God, send the fire again to your church and baptize everyone. Just as Mrs. Booth said at the couple who founded the Salvation Army, she said, I travel all across England and I hear great orators, people who can take the word of God and break it down. She says, but what we need is pastors and people in the pew whose hearts burn when they speak the word of God, because the fire of the Holy Ghost is on their lives. Lord, let that be the prayer of each one of us. That whenever we have the opportunity to pray or to step out and share or to show kindness, whatever it is that you lead us to do in the flow of life, I pray people's hearts would burn whenever we talk about Jesus, because Jesus is burning in us. And so, Lord, I pray now that the grace of God our Father, the precious and mighty name of Jesus, which is still mighty to save and is the only name that we've been given by which we can find salvation, and the ministry and power and fire of the Holy Spirit would go with each one until we can meet again, should Jesus not return. And everyone said, amen. 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 Happy March break. I know we kept you longer this morning, but it was worth it. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.